Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. So glad you took time out of your day to join us for just a portion of God's Word. We happen to be in the book of Acts in chapter number 24, and we kind of left last episode the Apostle Paul on a limb. We don't want to leave him there much longer, John.
That's for sure. We would give him opportunity to answer his side of the story.
So here's Paul in Caesarea. He's under arrest. He's being held. And Tertullus, the orator, is functioning as the prosecutor. Really behind all of it is the nefarious Sanhedrin Council and Ananias. There's a large group of people that are there to verify, to corroborate what Tertullus is accusing. And Paul is just sitting there having these lies flung at him. And the Bible says in verse 10, so we're in Acts 24 in verse 10, then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." We're going to stop there for a moment. So we see now how the Apostle Paul is answering Felix. A couple of things strike me immediately, John. First of all, Paul doesn't go into a big flowery speech about Felix.
That is very obvious as you read this, Pastor, that Paul approaches Felix very differently. He is glad that Felix does know of this situation, or not of this situation exactly, but Felix is very well aware of the type of things that happen in Israel. And so Paul brings that up, that you've been around here for a while, you're not new to this block.
Yeah, I did notice that, and I find it interesting because I think what Paul's driving at here is, Felix, you've been around for a while. Felix, you've seen cases like this come and go, and I'm glad that I'm going to be able to speak because I think that you're going to be able to see through this as a veteran judge.
Yeah, Paul does have confidence right now that Felix will have the wherewithal to be able to listen to the truth, be able to respond correctly. And so Paul is now glad to give his side what truly did happen when he was at the temple.
And he flatly denies the accusation, but notice how he does it. So verse 12, "They neither found me in the temple disputing with any man." Okay, so remember, the initial accusation made against Paul was he was profaning the temple. And the profaning of the temple was, the accusation was that he was bringing Gentiles into the temple. And so Paul basically is saying here, okay, well, show me who I was talking to.
Yeah, there's no proof whatsoever. And it's interesting, they don't bring anybody with them for proof. They just are saying these lies, thinking that through their power of speech, they'll be able to convict him.
That's right. So verse 12 again, "So they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people." Okay, so a second accusation was that in some way I'm a seditionist, in some way I'm this pestilent person that's causing unrest, not only in Jerusalem, but among Jews all around the world. Show me that.
Yeah, Paul is just going right through their accusations, very logically responding. And again, Paul does give us a template for how to respond. Just respond with truth. We don't have to, you know, be super emotional about it. Just respond with truth. Here are the facts. Here's what happened. They can't prove otherwise.
"And they said that I was doing this around the world in the synagogues. They said that I did this in the city in Jerusalem. So show me. Show me the case in which I raised up I purposely cause sedition in any one of these cases.
You know, and as you read what Paul said here, Pastor, reminded me that oftentimes when people attack us, our response sometimes is to get emotional about it, to ratchet up, get hotter under the collar, and really try to be forceful with our speech. But that is not the right way to approach it. Just approach it calmly, give the facts, say, here's what the truth is. And that is what Paul is doing now with Felix, just responding rationally and saying, here is what the facts truly are.
Truth does not need to be loud or angry. It's not to say that we never say things loudly, but oftentimes when truth is loud and angry, it undermines the very truth that we're speaking.
It sure does, Pastor. It makes the truth ugly in the way it's given, and it need not be given that way.
So, and I love the point that he's simply speaking the truth. And the Bible says in verse 13, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. So, Felix, we've heard a number of accusations, and at face value, these accusations seem heinous, but they can't prove one of them.
Yeah, and I love again how Paul responds. You know, Paul just says there's no proof about this. You know, really, they shouldn't even be here. These are all just fabricated statements. And Paul is just responding and saying, Felix, they cannot prove this. There's no really case here. What they have accused me of, I have not done at all.
So he speaks first to the issues that would matter to a Roman governor, the issues that involve sedition, the issues that involve unrest. He speaks to that first because I think that would be the that would matter to Felix, and that would be that which Felix would rule on. But there is a secondary issue here, and that is that they have claimed that Paul is a heretic. Now, I don't know how much Felix would really care about that. It doesn't seem that the Roman officials really cared about the nuances of opinions when it came to Jewish religion. But because the Ananias and Tertullus speaking for him are making the point that it's the heresy of Paul that is causing the sedition, that Paul has to speak not only to the sedition, but also has to speak to the alleged heresy as well.
And again, I like how Paul will do this very succinctly. He just says, this is the heart of the issue. This is what really is the difficulty. I'm dealing with an issue that, you know, made them mad. And again, Paul just succinctly summarizes what the heart is.
And what they're saying, Felix, is what they're saying is that I'm a heretic. So a heretic would is one that would blatantly disregard the truth. So I want you to know, Felix, that accusation as well is wrong. Look at verse 14. But this I confess, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. So they're claiming that I'm wrong, but I'm telling you that all I'm doing is following the Bible they claim to follow. So if we want to talk right now about heresy and talk about what I believe and make this a matter of who believes the Bible, let's do it.
I'm sure Felix did know the history of Israel to some degree. He knew, you know, a lot of their religion, how the religion was important to them. And as you mentioned, Paul just says, Felix, I follow the Bible they revere. This is really what Paul is highlighting, a difference over how they perceive the Old Testament and how I look at it. But Felix, I had the faith of my fathers, and I'm following the God of the Old Testament. That is what I am doing, but they don't agree with how I'm interpreting it.
I see something else at play here as well, and that is the Apostle Paul was always looking for an opportunity to say, hey, you know what the real issue is? The real issue here is what we believe about the Christ, Messiah. The real issue is here is what the Bible says. So let's talk about what the Bible says. And I think that in the back of the Apostle Paul's mind is what God had promised him. Paul, you're going to appear before kings. You're going to appear before these high-level leaders, and you're going to testify of me. So I think Paul is always looking for what is that in? What is that window of opportunity to talk about Christ and talk about the Bible?
That's a great observation, Pastor. And I like what Paul does, as you mentioned. You know, Paul gives us an example. The gospel ought be our heartbeat. Yet Paul is there. Who knows what's going to happen? He doesn't know for sure right now. But his main concern is not just defending himself against accusations. He wants to give the gospel out, which is a great reminder to us. How can we take opportunities to look at situations and bring in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and tell people about him?
Sometimes I'll see this even in modern news stories. Maybe an athlete is being interviewed, or sometimes a politician about a deep, dark issue. And you just love when a person who's a Christian just settles the conversation, but introduces in the conversation, hey, can I just say a word about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And it always just warms my heart that he's using this to speak to the real issue. And the real issue in every situation is always the gospel, because the gospel is the healer. What our country needs is not more unity among Democrats and Republicans. Our country needs the gospel. And we don't need a better view on racism, although racism is abhorrent. But we know we need the gospel, because the gospel heals all of it. The gospel is what changes the mind and the heart.
It is a powerful truth that Christ is the center. And the most important issue in all of life, as you already mentioned, is what do people do with Jesus? And we here today are ambassadors of reconciliation. I like how Paul paints it so clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But we are ambassadors of reconciliation. And we take people that don't know Jesus Christ, share the gospel with them, and see them transformed and become sons and daughters of God.
That's the only place that unity can be achieved. Politics tries to achieve union. Union is achieved when we minimize our differences and try to tolerate each other. It's always tenuous. Unity is much different than union. Unity is when we agree on a body of truth. And so unity centers on something outside of ourselves. So true unity can only be achieved as we agree on the gospel. And then when we agree on the gospel, all the other things don't matter. Then Jews and Gentiles can be in the same body. People that are of different social strata, men and women, old and young, rich and poor, everybody can come to that level ground at the foot of the cross when we unify around the gospel.
And whenever we in our lives get a hold of that truly and live that reality out, it is a life-changing truth that we are one in Christ. And we see this all throughout Paul's epistles, where Paul tells people that they are one in Christ. And this is a unity that no human logic can come up with. Rich and poor, doesn't matter your skin color, doesn't matter your background. In Christ, we all are one, and we can follow with Christ and have unity with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's so good. But Paul's not done. He just introduces this gospel element in his defense. And we're going to explore this a little bit more deeply next episode. So thanks for joining us. Appreciate you taking some time out of your day. Hope you have a productive day in the Lord. And looking forward to our conversation again next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.